There's a lot of talk about what a profound effect No Child Left Behind has had on the way institutions work in education, like schools and school systems work. Now, I happen to have the privilege of working with a lot of school systems that are on this task of instructional improvement in a pretty big way. But once I get out of that orbit and walk into a room of non-select superintendents and principals from just random districts who walk in the door, I have to say that two-thirds of those people are completely clueless about the work of instructional improvement. They have absolutely no idea where to start. They don't know how to turn the page. Now, this is in a system of just draconian and patently arbitrary regulatory policy. This isn't a system where people are supposed to be getting flogged and put out of business for not performing. And yet, a very substantial proportion of schools and districts out there have no idea what they're doing around these issues. So, here we got it, you know. We got the people who are responsible for running the system out of touch with the people who actually produce what the system is supposed to produce. We've got it in schools of education, and we've got it in the institutional structure. Even in the presence of an accountability environment in which we're supposed to be just banging people's heads together. Now that, my friends, is a definition of a very resilient culture, right? This is like we're driving the car off the cliff. The separation of research from practice. One of the things that you understand when you watch physicians work is that there's a lot of understanding and reflection on what constitutes knowledge. And especially in the medical rounds model, and I'm now talking not about grand rounds, which is much sort of a big event in which there's a big research question, and the senior physician sort of presents the problem. I'm talking about what are called attending rounds, which are the daily work of physicians as they migrate through hospitals and groups. One of the things that you discover by watching these people is that the boundary between pretty sophisticated research and craft knowledge is very permeable and continuous. That is, you're really accountable for whether you know what the current state of medical practice is in a given area. And much of the discourse is organized around whether you know that. But there's also quite a lot of knowledge that has to do with the practice of diagnosis. A lot of protocol, a lot of norms, a lot of structure, a lot of social indoctrination occurs in these settings. So that there is, as a result, what I think a lot of educators would regard as a kind of seamlessness to the discourse between very particular, very specific problems of practice on the one hand, and whatever the governing theories are of the etiology of disease that shape current medical practice and the procedures that are designed to make people better. The analogy I like to use with my students is my colleague Catherine Snow at the Graduate School of Education, who's an expert in literacy, chaired a National Research Council committee on reading. And the report they published was Preventing Reading Difficulties. I won't ask for a show of hands for how many people have read it. The report essentially says, for all but a trivial proportion of kids in the general population, there's no reason why every child shouldn't be reading fluently by grade 3. Here's the research, here's the practice that goes with the research, and here's what it looks like when it's operating in a real setting. Now, what's interesting about that is that that report and its results has had only very, very selective effects. It's largely unread by practitioners and largely unassimilated into practice. A report of similar import, a report that did a similar review of the literature in a field of specialized medical practice would produce the following effect. If within a year you weren't practicing consistently with the results of the report, you would be called an ex-practitioner. That's the definition of a weak connection. I see it in ed schools. I see it in the world of practice. And it's almost perfectly symmetrical.